Hello and welcome to another episode of I Could Never Be Here on Popcorn Talk Network. Guys, 2 weeks until Christmas. I know it's crazy to fathom that we are middle of December, 2 weeks until Christmas. It feels just like yesterday. We're at the beginning of January of 2017, trying to look ahead to maybe some of the projects and goals that I wanted to accomplish. But it's not too late to finish some of those goals if you have those in your life. But I want to challenge you guys this week to look ahead to next year, plan out maybe your top three or four list of things that you want to accomplish in 2018, write them down, and plan out how you're going to make them happen. It's so much easier to make things happen if you have a set plan. You might have realized that this year, things you wanted to accomplish, couldn't quite get it done because you didn't put in the time prior to make it happen. I know certainly with starting this show, put in months and months of time to plan how to make it happen, and that's why we've been able to go. And speaking of this show, we're the last episode of season one this week. This is our last episode. We've done 12 episodes here on Popcorn Talk. Had a great number of guests come in. We'll be back middle of January for season two. But speaking of guests, I am truly honored to have one of my good friends in here today. He is one of the top wrestlers in the world. He has achieved a dozen championships in various leagues, WWE, WCW, TNA. Now he hosts one of the top wrestling podcasts in the world on AfterBuzz TV every single Wednesday, X-Pac 312360. He does go by many names. He started out as a Lightning Kid, 123 Kid, 6, 6-Pac, X-Pac. Please welcome Sean Waltman.
Hey, Mike.
And Lula, who is here. How's Lula doing today?
You know how Lula's doing, Mike. Let's cut the cat calls here. You were already with her for about an hour before we started doing the show.
That's true. That's true. I love Lula. Is it crazy for you to think that Christmas is already here in 2 weeks?
I remember like it was a month ago that we were doing the Christmas party thing, and we had the Christmas party here, and so yeah, it's crazy. This year, more so than any other, has just gone by so quick.
Yeah, and it's like you realize that when you're writing the date, and obviously we're all going to mess it up, you know, for the first week of next year, writing 2018, but like 2017 to think back, like, I mean, obviously I'm not that old. I mean, I'm only 28, and to look back and be like, I remember like the millennium coming in, and it was like the Y2K, and thinking back of like that's 18 years ago now, and just to think back, that's wild. Your show on AfterBuzz, obviously every Wednesday, you get thousands upon thousands of views. You're loving that
hundred
show. Thousands of views on YouTube, and then yeah. The audio, the iTunes. It's available.
Oh no,
there
not
as well.
Not it's like the huge numbers are on the audio part.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that you've been going to obviously for several months. Do you see that obviously that keep going? You have a number of guests that you want to bring in, or how do you approach that every week?
Right now I'm just doing the stuff that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. The stuff I'm having the guests on that I want to have on. You know, sometimes it's, you know, you want that marquee guest that mm-hmm. like everyone, and it's a mix. Because yeah. I can get those guys, guys and ladies anytime I want. But
there's not as much pressure, I'm sure, because you also are that. So you, it's not like for me on the show, we're trying to get a guest where I have to be able to rely on them to produce content. You can bring that out of anyone because you can rely on your past experiences as well. And that people love to be able to hear that.
Yes, many a week goes by where I don't even have a guest and I just talk about what's going on in the industry.
Yeah.
And people seem to be just fine with those episodes as well.
Yeah, and it seems like, I mean, the industry and this, I mean, everything that's going on, WrestleMania, all those, they seem like they're so much bigger than ever. Did you see, when you started out in the sport, looking, did you think about the future of the sport ever or where it would go and think about where it is now and think, wow, be able to fill out like huge stadiums that are like outdoor stadiums and massive, I mean, tens and 20s and 30s and thousands of people. Did you think about that when you were starting out that would be the future of wrestling?
Well, yes. And it's not like the only thing you think about, but it's one of the things that you envision because there had already been successful shows in the past, you know, when wrestling was different and was run differently and was you know, there were many, many different regional mm-hmm. promotions that made up the system.
Yeah.
And, you know, say in Texas, they drew 50,000 people almost to Texas Stadium. Comiskey Park in Chicago for Pat O'Connor versus Buddy Rogers in the 60s. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the wrestling's had its ups and downs when it comes to, you know, popularity as a spectator sport.
What I was going to say, I think it almost is more popular as far as just, it's not as much of a niche sometimes, I feel like, with people grow up, but sometimes it can be a niche. It seems like it's kind of expanded on that. Even like ESPN now does so much on wrestling. What is the biggest thing that has changed in the last, you know, 20, 30, 40 years in regards to the sport of wrestling, professional wrestling?
It just depends on where, you know, I assume when you say that you're talking about WWE because that's what most people know.
Most people know that, yeah, but...
Yeah, and because the thing is, it's wrestling, it's like entertainment, it's like, just take movies, for instance, there's different, you know, rating system for mm-hmm. movies, so like, and different types, so, mm-hmm. you know, even in wrestling, there's different promotions, and even inside of WWE, where there's like different niches that they try mm-hmm. to... satisfy. So it's really weird to talk about it like that, but generally when you talk about WWE, that the main thing that has changed is that it's gotten family friendly enough to the point where we're attracting sponsors like Coca-Cola or you know, and I use Coca-Cola just as an example because I'm not even sure if they're a sponsor right now.
Yeah.
But for instance, things like that.
Do you think that's good for the sport? Obviously,
it's great. Oh, it's great because I mean, when you're making, then you're working with, you know, with big charities, you're able to help out and do things that are more civic, you know, helping out like the community and just it's just the way you're viewed, you know, when you know your corporate sponsor is like somebody like you know
at that level,
or you're doing things with Susan G. Komen or things of that nature, then it puts you in a different light than it did back in the days when we had the Attitude Era and we were telling people to suck it.
Yeah. Do you wish, you know, looking back, do you wish that you could have had maybe some of those sponsorships to be able to have maybe it be more family friendly back then?
Mike, I don't look at things like that. I don't sit and go, geez, I wish that back in the day. Because, I mean, it's not going to do any good.
Can't change
it. I'm just happy that that's what's available. Mm-hmm. That's what's available now to in the industry. And and that, you know, the work that we put in.
Yeah.
That down the road that the people this generation is able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. A lot of that is because of the foundation that you guys built to be able to build that popularity.
Yeah, and the same goes for the guys that came, you know, right before we did.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Big the legends starting out. I mean, I've done, you know, obviously we've been friends for the past year and, you know, reading up on so many things, but starting wrestling, at what age did you know that you wanted to be a wrestler? Or were you growing up just like any kid nowadays watching wrestling and thinking, this is something that I want to do as a hobby, as a career?
I started watching wrestling just like other kids do, you know, but then when you go and actually attend a live wrestling match, mm-hmm. when you're 10 years old and you're viewing that through the eyes of a 10-year-old child, that's what did it. And so like it made enough of an impression on me that I knew right away that's what I wanted to do. And so that's just what I did,
mm-hmm.
you know. And when you want to do something, it doesn't matter if you want to be a wrestler or whatever it is, you know, MMA or football, God forbid, these days.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know, but those things, you know, you have to immerse yourself in whatever it is you want to do and learn everything that there is to know about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I did.
Did you start doing that when you were 10 years old, or is that
started setting the ring up. After that first time, I mm-hmm. started showing up every match and helping set the ring up. And that got me like a foot in the... I'm 10 years old. Yeah. I'm like backstage watching all these guys, like, you know, right, like walking right over top of me, some of these guys, 6'9", 350-pound guys, when you're 10 years old.
Yeah.
You know, bigger than life personalities to match, you know, so.
Yeah, that certainly has, when you're that age too, that has an impression on you too.
Yeah.
I read that you tried out for your wrestling team in ninth grade, and you quit because there was a hair, you had to cut your hair.
Yeah, it was just, and really that's just an excuse for me just being an overall bad student and not and already checking out when mm-hmm. it comes to, you know, the school thing.
Mm-hmm. Because of the because you kind of had what you knew.
Honestly, the only thing that would have kept me in school at that point was probably being in wrestling yeah. team. So no, I just did I would go to wrestling class, and you know, like for me to join the wrestling team, they you know, technically like I had to cut my hair, yeah. and that was just
how short did would you how long was your
above
hair at
the
that
collar,
point?
You know?
Okay,
and I had the long hair,
like down my, past your down
oh yeah
the middle
for
back.
Sure. Yeah.
Have you ever had your hair short since then?
Yeah. As soon as I actually started professional wrestling, I buzzed it. I buzzed the whole thing. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I want to tell you, you're saying you were 10 years old putting in the work. What did that entail? I mean, how many – was that hours before you – I know that you set up the rings. You were doing promotions for free. You were really trying to do odd jobs to be able to get in. What odd jobs were those? What did that entail to be able
anything,
to –
Anything. Anything. You just show up, and if there's something to do with – wrestling or whatever it is, you put yourself there. You insert yourself into the situation. And sometimes you might be a real pain in the ass by doing that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it works.
Do you think that for you, that showed initiative for people that allowed the opportunities?
Both. I'm sure some people were quite irritated and others probably saw something in me. You know, actually a few people did.
Did you have people when you got bigger? Did you see other people doing that same thing? Anyone coming in and offering to help set up with the ring or help with other things for free? Be able to get their foot in the door.
You know, I guess I wasn't really looking at the time because I was still. I'm not like right now. I could sit back and watch that and spot those people, yeah. but. At the time, Mike, I was still real caught up in, you know, and getting myself to the place where I mm-hmm. needed to be. And you know, I was talking about, like, you brought up the wrestling thing in the ninth grade. And, you know, I didn't complete the ninth grade. The mm-hmm. last grade I completed yeah. was the eighth grade, actually. Yep. And I wouldn't suggest anyone, you know, take the path that I took.
Yeah.
You know, but when I bring that up, it just, I only bring that up and talk about how I didn't finish school. Just to show that, like, you know, in spite of
yeah.
things, you know, like that, you know, mm-hmm.
If people do what you did, what you're saying is people do what you did and do some of these other things that what you're telling people.
Yeah.
How tall is the sky? I mean, the sky is
exactly.
the limit.
Yeah. And by not, you know, honestly, really looking back on it, by not applying myself and as a student in school, like, mm-hmm. you know, I did myself a huge disservice, I think. I missed out on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, you were asking me about something earlier. I don't go back and go, I wish this or yeah. I wish I could change it. I don't do that. I think that's a waste of time.
Did you ever do that, or is that something that is just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I in the past, I've been there
mm-hmm.
where I've, like... But
we
that's
all have.
That's, like, okay, you know, that was when I was beating myself up.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, I thought that I deserved to be punished, so I punished myself, mm-hmm. and I'm over that mm-hmm. at this point in my life. Now, if I do something again that deserves, you know, for me to beat myself up over, I might do it again.
But yeah.
For now, we're good.
When was it that, I mean, maybe it was very early on when you're starting and you're finally getting your break. Was there a time when you thought, this is what I could do for a living versus this is what I want to do for a living versus... This is my career path. Was there a...
There was no choice. There was no, like, this is what I want to do. No, this is what I am going to do. There was no, this, you know, I really want to do this. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I hope it works out. No, man, that's not the attitude, like, that you go into something like that with. Else you're kind of setting yourself up for
yeah.
failure.
Did other people understand that attitude, or was that something foreign for other people?
It's foreign to people that... listen to the self-doubt within themselves and or the doubt that others like have that didn't follow their own dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So they're quick to, you know, extinguish yours,
yeah.
put the fire out in yours. And so those people, it was kind of an odd way of approaching mm-hmm. life. But
yeah.
for me, it was just the only way.
How did you block out self-doubt? Because I feel like everyone faces it to some extent, but how did you... block it out.
I kind of, honestly, Mike, I didn't. It's just I was really sure of myself in a lot of in a lot of areas. You know, like, so I knew I was pretty good at what I did.
Yeah.
When it comes to wrestling, and I was good at martial arts.
Did you set goals, you know, when you accomplish something and be like, okay, this is the next goal. This is the next goal that I want to achieve?
Yeah. That's what we do. And you know, like later on I read books, you know, the seven, you know, oh God, now that I'm on here, the Napoleon Hill book, you know, the seven habits of highly successful people, you know, things like that. When you read those, you go, I'm talking, when I say you, I'm talking about me right now. Yeah. I'm going, oh, wow, I did that. I just didn't know that's what I was doing at the time. You know, visualization, put yourself in the right place at the right time. All these different things that you have to do, you know. So no, they were the things that I was doing. And these, you know, setting small attainable goals that you can accomplish. If you're like, if you don't have those, you'll go crazy because you have to have some kind of a sense of accomplishment on a regular basis.
Is that a week goals? Is that month goals? Is that both yearly goals?
I think that they can be all, like, they can be daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. I mean, that, there's no limit on, you know, how many goals you set.
Yeah, and try to accomplish it maybe before you before you want.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, you're talking earlier when you were just, you know, doing the intro of your show, you're talking about, you know, coming up with things for the new year. Why wait?
Yeah.
Why wait till the new year? Like any of that stuff that you can start right now, do it.
Yep. And so many people, they get to the new year, like, okay, this is my New Year's resolution, and I'm thinking of it literally as we're counting down, the ball is dropping, 10, 9, 8. And to name something and actually put in the work to do it is totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, of course. And you know, I've... One of my defects of character is procrastination, big time. Like, probably if I had to name one that cost me more than any other, it would be that one. And so, in spite of all that, I've still done not too bad in life.
You've done really well. You know? In life. What was the biggest goal that you had getting into wrestling? What was the biggest goal that you had, and did you reach that goal?
I reached that goal like pretty quick. Quickly.
Sorry. What was the goal?
Be a wrestler.
To be.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you do. Like, okay. First goal was, I just want to be one of those guys. I just want to be. It doesn't matter if it's the guy in the first match that's getting his ass beat and never wins a match. But then you get there and you go, okay, this is great, but it's not quite enough. You know? And it's okay. Like, you know, like, you know, I was talking to you the other night about how I'm content now with simple things in life, you know, like taking care of Lula or things like that. But that's not the same as being content with, like, the things that you want to achieve, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't mean...
You still don't want to settle.
Exactly.
You can be content without settling.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and some people don't understand that.
I feel like that's something that takes anyone a while, and even like as a young person, it's especially hard because you haven't achieved that much as a young person.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing, here's the thing too. You didn't bring this up, but I'm bringing it up. I lived my dreams, you know, and a lot of my contemporaries have had problems, huge problems in life because, you know, like, I'll use one person's, I'm not going to name names, but one person said, what do you do when the dream's over? You know? So the nice, easy, quick answer to that is you don't have to quit dreaming. You know, that's up to you. I didn't. Well, I did for a while.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's so true. Like, I think, like, professional athletes, they... Any professional athlete, I mean, you hear people all the time, and it's like, I think I read an article like Michael Jordan the other day, and how do you come down off that? How do you get to that point? And at some point, you have to realize that you're never going to be that again. But again, I love that attitude, what you said. Just because you, that dream doesn't mean you have to stop dreaming. That's right.
Yeah. Or because if you don't, what you end up doing, Mike, is you end up living in the past. And when you live in the past, you die every day. And that's the truth, man. We have to make the life, the now time, the time mm-hmm. we're in right now, we have to make that the best we can. And we can't do it when we're living in the past or projecting too far into the future.
True. Also true. What was the grind like? I mean, people see the stardom of wrestling, and when they see you getting in the ring and doing everything, what was the grind like? What was the preparation like to be able to do some of those matches? I mean, you working out, and like we were talking the other night, you're traveling sometimes night after night after night, and people aren't seeing that.
You do the work when you're training to be a wrestler. That's mm-hmm. it's about as hard a thing as you could imagine. Putting yourself through. Reggie White, you know who Reggie White was?
Oh, Reggie White. Yeah, he played for the Packers.
Reggie White told me this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. That's a Hall of Fame, NFL Hall of Famer. And one bad dude.
He was the Minister of Defense.
That's right. Yeah, and he's not the only one that's said that to me. But, you know, there's that. And then, the part that gets you is okay, you know, you'll hear a bunch of us, especially back from my days, talk about the 300-day-a-year grind, you know, mm-hmm. and I appreciated where you were coming from, and I understood, like, it's a bitch, you know, you were saying, like, hey, I've been working 13 days straight.
Yeah, I'm on a 19-day grind, but you have to do that.
Yeah, yeah, and but that- we're, you know, there was a time, Mike, when 19 days would have been like, oh, that's... It would be like, oh, this loop's only 19 days. Like, legit, you don't even know when you're going to see your family. Or, you know, no wonder, like, okay, the family breaks up because your wife's home mm-hmm. alone and, you know, mm-hmm. you're on the road and, you know, you're exposed to all these temptations and she's lonely. And
is there a
balance? You know, there's a lot of things that.
Is there a balance to that of working it incredibly hard to be able to pursue the dream, but also knowing different priorities?
It's tough, Mike.
It's
tough because a lot of it is what you bring with you into the mm-hmm. industry, and that's like, you know, the values that were instilled in you, which includes, like, you know, work ethic and just, you know, how you treat people, mm-hmm. you know, all those things. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, it takes parental supervision at some mm-hmm. point for mm-hmm. those things to be instilled.
Hey, wrestler, like you're. Like,
but I'm sorry, Mike.
No.
What I was getting at is, so some guys do a lot better at this than others, and usually those are the people. Like, I'm going to use a perfect example: Triple H, mm-hmm. one of my dearest friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, both his parents. But still married to this day. Awesome. Grew up, had a wonderful childhood. Mm-hmm. Ideal.
Yeah.
And, you know, both parents in the home, it's not always the way it works, but it's really important, you mm-hmm. know? And so when you have those things, like, it's, you're really being set up to do a lot better in life, you know?
Yeah.
And doesn't mean you can't do it if you don't have those things. It's just mm-hmm. way harder.
No, yeah. And it's there are some, obviously, like you're saying, there's some more obstacles to overcome.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, to finish it off saying, but it doesn't mean you can't. I mean, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't keep hitting that wall and be able to break through that wall and keep going.
Yeah.
Wrestlers, you know, you almost have a persona of being macho, being big, strong, you know, holding this, like I said, strong and macho persona. Is that hard to be able to maintain that? Or is there times when you almost wish you didn't have to give off that, I could conquer anything, I'm going to stand up to anyone persona?
I'd like to think I never really cared too much about that. Maybe a little bit.
For other wrestling, I mean, do you think...
Yeah, it's a big deal, and it is a big deal, the image we project. But that goes in life. Like, for me, I always did the best when I just projected the most authentic version of me. Mm-hmm. Now, if I was a bad guy, okay, that was the most authentic a-hole in me.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa. But for those that are concerned with that false image, yeah, it is important. I just don't think about it. I'd probably been better to answer that question a few years back.
That's important, and I think that's something that you, when you almost have that reputation sometimes, and that can be good and bad. And certainly, you know that there's you had a lot of other people in the sport before you, big historic people who are very well known. Who did you look up to most in the industry, and was there lessons that you learned from them, and what lessons as far as life maybe? And not wrestling, who did you look up to and what lessons did you learn?
The thing is, some of the people I looked up to didn't have the best life lessons. I still look up to him, and I still to this day. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I would go to them for lessons in life. People can take that however they want. Yeah. It's just the way it is,
I don't know.
And, there's probably people going, hey, I don't want to take any lessons from life from you either. And that's fine. I totally understand. I'm just giving you what I got to offer. If you want it, you want it. If you don't, you don't.
I love it. You're saying that the attitude of you don't – there's I feel like a fine line of sometimes like the attitude of not caring what other people think, which is a great attitude to have. What is important about – having that, and is there a balance?
I care, Mike. I care about what people think of me. I just don't, it's not worth projecting a false image over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want them to like me for me. And so I do care. We don't want to live and die by what other people think of us, for sure. But, I'm not one that's I don't care what other people think of me. I do care about what people think of me. I want people to know that I'm a good person, that I love other people, that I have empathy and feel other people's pain when they're feeling pain.
Yeah.
I care about those things. I want people to not believe some of the things that people have believed about me in the past.
And I'm fortunate enough over the past year to have gotten to know you. And we talk for a couple hours after shows sometimes. And that's sometimes literally some of the best times of my week to be able to have those conversations. I really want you to know that, to be able to just sit and talk and have those authentic conversations. And that's important no matter who you're looking up to, no matter who who you are, to be able to have those conversations. I think that's when you really get to know who the real people are.
Yep.
What are, getting near the end of the show, but I want to know, what lessons do you look back and do you wish that you could maybe tell the younger you, and in doing so, tell maybe younger listeners and younger people out there, what lessons do you look back and say, man, wish I could have told myself this?
Oh. I guess you just, one of the things that, it's just all of the advice that that people that came before us are trying to share with us. We should be...
to listen.
Yeah. Yeah, man. We should, even if we don't believe it, even if we don't, want to embrace it, I think we owe it to them to listen to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the experiences that they've gone through can say. I mean, sure. you can learn a lesson the hard way, or you can learn a lesson by listening.
Yeah, and okay, not a lot of, a lot of the advice that the people might get, might be coming from somebody that has a different outlook on things that maybe I'm just using I can only use my, my industry, for example. There's a lot of guys that are giving advice and they're in that, but they're coming from a place of bitterness and I got screwed. I did, I never got what I deserved in the industry, because of one reason or another, no fault of my own.
Mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And which is BS. It's almost always fault of our own. Always. So, like, even then, like, the advice from those guys, like, there's something to be taken from them. For, you know, everyone has something to offer.
And it's amazing, you know, it might not be the exact experience, but it's amazing how often people have gone through something exactly what you're going through, like maybe one step off of saying, I went through something very similar. And if you listen to it, you can apply that lesson to your life.
Or we can also tell ourselves, no one else could possibly understand what I'm going through, but, like, trust me. You know, even myself, like, my story is pretty crazy and out there, and, like, I could go, oh, no one's been through the things I have. And probably, you know, it's hard to find too many, but there are a few that have been through way worse. But, you know, instead of thinking that we're so unique, we need to understand that there are so many people that actually relate to us, you know?
I think that that goes back to part of why I started the show, because, you know, you had all these people when they're younger and saying, oh, no one's ever gone through this, no one's ever put in the work that I've had to put in, or no one's gone through the experiences that I have, and thinking, oh, I could never reach this level because they've never gone through. These people at the top have always had, you know, connections, or they've always had money, or they've had something better than I have. But, like, I love that what you're saying. We realize that there are other people. And if you listen to them and you follow in their path, it can save you a lot of work.
And if they're coming from a real negative place, listen to that. Still listen to them. And you just know what not to do a lot of the times, you know? Like I said, just give everyone a listen.
Yeah. What motivates you now? You're saying that you're in a very content place, obviously, you and Lula. What motivates you to maybe achieve success? And what is your version of success? Just happiness? And what motivates you to get there? And Lula perks up.
You know, I don't know, Mike. Just being able to wake up every day and go, oh, man, like, I feel good. I feel good. I'm not a slave to anything. You know, I'm not a slave to drugs and alcohol, which always just to mask things. Like, you know, the better you feel about yourself, the less you want to mask those, you know, those, the way you feel. So, I just, you know, and I want to do better, like, the next chapters of my career, you know, when it comes to the, you know, behind the microphone more, you know, I'm still wrestling, and that motivates me to go out and while I'm still doing it, to be the best I can be out there and look the best I can look, and, you know, not be the guy that you go buy a ticket to, like, for nostalgia purposes, but then when you see him, you're sad. You know what I mean, Mike?
Yeah.
Are you really sad it's like, oh, this guy needs the money because he's still up there and, like, he can't even, like, move around in there, but he, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's sad. That's not me.
Yeah.
Like, I still move around in there really good.
Oh, yeah, and that's why you go – I mean, we went to the gym the other night. It's why you're still going to the gym, you know, several times a week.
Yeah.
To be putting in the work.
Yeah.
Because the work never stops.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that answer, and especially hearing, you know, I love hearing people's definitions of success, because it rarely... Because
everyone has their own definition of it, and it's not for you to tell me what mine should be, or me to you, vice versa.
And it's also rarely, you know, what people think of success of, like, oh, man, to be able to make $10 million, or to be able to have four houses. I mean, a lot of it is, when you boil it down, of that personal happiness. So, like you said, waking up happy and content, and knowing that this is life, and you're making the most of it every single day.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'll say this in closing. Like, I had a dream. I put action to that dream and that vision and created my life. Mm-hmm. We are in charge of creating our own reality. I truly believe that. Mm-hmm. And everything that I've ever set out to accomplish, when I didn't have, like, stupid things in the way, like, you know, drugs and alcohol, distraction of some crazy relationship, things like that. Everything I've ever set out to accomplish, Mike, I've accomplished. Every single thing. And it, if I can do it, like, I know it's cliche.
Yeah.
Trust me, if I can do it with a grocery list of defects of character, everyone can do it. Everyone can.
That's the best way to go out. That's the best way. Literally, if that doesn't inspire you and be able to look at yourself in the mirror and stop making excuses and be able to say, this is what I want to accomplish, especially, you know, ending the year here, the last episode of the first season and going into 2018 to be able to set those goals, do that. You have 3 weeks to be able to set some goals, be able to look ahead and say, this is what I want to accomplish. This is how I'm going to do it. Go do that. Guys, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of I Could Never Be. Thank you so much for joining us for this season of I Could Never Be. Again, 12 episodes. Go back and listen. Obviously, a lot of people traveling over the holidays. We wish you guys safe travels. While you're doing so, give us a listen. Tell a friend to be able to share the post. If you want to follow Sean, it's at The Real X-Pac on Twitter. You can also follow Bat Baby Lula at It's Baby Lula.
Yep.
And Sean obviously keeps that updated. Lots of very cute pictures. You can follow me at TheOnlyMC. Guys, thank you so much again. Go do something kind for one another. We'll see you next year.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or friends. Treat you like your little man.